We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Is there a quick way of explaining what we're still lacking in baseball history and the work you still have left to do about things that took place back in around the 1860s?
Yeah, I think baseball's history is almost a prehistory, almost an archaeological expedition, because what we're doing is we're studying the history of play, which was not very well recorded, the way wars and finance and governmental matters were covered. We do not have a really strong documentary trail. So what we have is pot shards. We have bits and pieces of prohibitions against play, which are lovely and very illuminating. But we don't have a record of the kids at the Little Red Schoolhouse challenging the kids at the schoolhouse in the adjoining township and then having their game recorded in the paper. So how kids played and how grown-ups began to play, because play was originally frowned upon, all of this is very cobwebby, and the historian has to proceed on his best guess with as much detail and research as he can bring to bear, but in the end, there's a leap of imagination required. So I would say that no matter how much work and how many years I devoted to the subject, there's plenty to be done.
So talk about taking on the job. You're filling the shoes of the formerly held by Jerome Holtzman, pretty big ones to fill.
Well, Jerome was a pal of mine, and it is an honor to follow him in this post. He died in 2008, so the post was vacant for quite some time, and there was no assurance that it would ever be filled again. I did not know whether the requirements of the job were tailored to Jerome or were, in fact, fairly objective criteria as to what MLB needed in order to both understand and capitalize on its unique, vast past.
So how hard is it to debunk myths about the game? Abner Doubleday, who was purported to be the inventor for so long, and other things about measurements of home plate and things like that?
It's easy to debunk them, but it's not necessarily easy for your findings to take hold, because myth is more powerful than fact. I was under no illusion during the 28 years that I was chasing down this story that I would bury Abner Doubleday and we'd never hear about him again. I'd say that if 85% of Americans who knew anything about baseball believed prior to my book that Doubleday had invented baseball, and now only 82% do, that's as close to success as I'm going to get. Doubleday is a culture hero. He is the father figure of baseball in the same way that Santa Claus is the father of Christmas.
You also sought out, we had the 200,000th game. How did you go about finding out when was the first officially sanctioned game or deciding when we actually had something that was Major League Baseball?
Well, counting the games is the matter of the Elias Sports Bureau and other assorted statisticians, but Major League Baseball relies upon Elias. The big question is, do you date Major League Baseball from the first game of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, 1871, or the first game of the National League, 1876. And Major League Baseball defines itself with the dawn of the National League, saying that the scheduling, the erratic scheduling, the varying financial mechanisms behind the clubs, the fly-by-night quality of the roster of clubs from year to year, made the National Association too chaotic to count its records. So once we agree that the first game is April 22nd, 1876, we put the counters on it, but that's not the end of it, because then we have questions of forfeit and no decision games, which are extremely squirrely in whether you count their outcomes or whether you count the individual records and not the outcomes. We are deep into Nerdville now.